Hey everyone, welcome back to the Are You The One wrap up for episode 6. My name's Allie Lasher and I'm joined by my fearless co-host Adam Bongiovanni. Adam, what's going on?
Absolutely nothing.
Well, we have a lot to talk about, so nothing may be going on with you, but a lot is going on inside the Are You The One house.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for that, though. There's so much going on with our favorite douchebags.
So I don't know how many episodes there are going to be. We usually get 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. We are on episode 6, which brings us over the normal midway hump of the season. So let's just take a moment and take stock. Where do you feel like this season falls for you in Are You The One history so far?
I actually like this season. I think that there's enough rootable people in the house, which is very surprising for me. But there's also enough people where I could hate and enjoy hating them. So I'm enjoying this season. I think this is a top tier season for me as of now.
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of questions from Twitter. Thanks to everyone who got those in to us. That we'll talk about later, about just like this is kind of the point in the season where it starts to hit people that like every season is sort of the same.
Yeah.
And we always have the same no match problems. I don't feel like we're getting a lot of people's stories, but maybe more than we usually do. Like, I do feel like I know 90% of people in the house pretty well, you know, for TV.
Yeah.
And I think every episode's been entertaining. I love Are You The One. I think I agree with you. I think it's been a great season. I'm getting nervous as we get into the home stretch here that we're not going to be invested in any of the couples that turn out to be perfect matches.
That's something that I also thought of, that a lot of the couples who are coupled up together, even the non-perfect matches that like stay together, sometimes you could like root for them after the show. I feel like the couples are all really terrible. And I'm sure there are exceptions and we'll get into that, but they're not fun at all. And the couples that have could be potentially perfect matches aren't fun. So maybe that'll be an issue, or maybe we could just enjoy hating them.
Yeah, time will tell. But let's get into this. We open with Olivia and Kareem, and Olivia is saying, I think we kind of opened with the two couples that disturbed me the most, Olivia and Kareem and Alexis and Keith.
Yes.
Where Olivia's saying she hates herself, she has no self-control. And I'm just kind of like, Olivia, we've all been there. Like, give yourself a break. Like, I think she's 21.
Yeah.
Like, I'm willing to give Olivia a pass besides how terrible Kareem is.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that it's not like it's a real relationship. It's an Are You The One relationship. So it's not like she's that weak where she's like, a boyfriend cheated on her over and over in real life and she keeps going back. Like, it was an Are You The One hookup. Like, I know it sucks, but if this girl wants to dive into the Kareem waters, like, God bless her.
Are you surprised that she's back on Kareem or not at all?
No, he's a sweet talker. Like, you could clearly see that he's like such a schmoozer that he's just going to talk his way out of doing anything wrong. And I think that's the scariest type of guy, like, because they could tell you anything they want and be doing something behind your back. And you could clearly see what type of guy Kareem is. Well, I'm sure we'll be talking about him the whole podcast. I despise everything about him. He tweeted the other day, Allie, that he is so lucky to have gotten out of the town he's from because people don't get out of there. I swear when I saw that, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not saying it's the best town and it's like there's no prep schools in the town, but it is not that bad at all.
I'm dying that the whole evolution of you and Kareem has been about being from the same hometown, like going to the same gym. Maybe I'll see him. And now he's just like dogging your town.
I haven't gotten shot yet. Like, I don't. And like, I'm like the whitest human being you could find. And like, I've been fine. So like, when he says people don't get out of my town, like, I'm like, where do you what? And like, and his facial hair pisses me off. It looks like it's painted on and that bothers me.
You're not alone. A lot of people said things about his facial hair, which absolutely slayed me. I love getting the listener comments about this kind of stuff. Well, we'll get to it later, but just jumping ahead a bit, like, Kareem is so manipulative. Yes. When he's like grabbing her by the face, saying like, you're a real woman for being with me and they don't have your best interests at heart. It's really scary behavior. Like, he's isolating her and it's freaking me out. But I need a palate cleanser, so let's get to Alexis and Keith before we have to go back into, as you said, the waters of Kareem. I just want to dip my toe in as little as possible.
You know, I agree. I'm not definitely not a big fan of Kareem. Okay, so now we're on Alexis and Keith. That's who we're up to?
Yeah, so this is like Keith also slightly manipulative, like saying like, when have I disrespected you? And think, when have you disrespected me? Like, you do everything out of spite. And they bother me a little bit less because I like see them together. Like, yeah. I get them as a couple. But I think Keith has been playing a lot of games with Alexis, and Alexis has opened up to him in a certain way. Like, we all know that Alexis doesn't like to like people. She's afraid of rejection, all of these issues. I think Keith is really like playing on those aspects of her personality.
Mm-hmm. And like, I guess I'm glad we do this podcast, because if I weren't talking with you, I would just think he's like this big dumb guy who really doesn't get what's going on. Like, I just overlook the fact that he's manipulative. And so talking with you, now I'm like, oh wow, like that does make sense. And yeah, she's very vulnerable. Because it seems like even if she likes someone, she doesn't let it get to this point. So now that she's at this point, I feel like all he has to do is kind of toy with her a little, and she's right in his lap.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to entertain the idea that maybe I'm being too hard on Keith. Like, if that's not like the obvious read, it's definitely fair. And I have a soft spot for Alexis for some reason, so maybe I'm just being particularly sensitive in favor of her. But I'm worried about Alexis. I don't feel good about Alexis and Keith.
No, I don't. Oh, like, dude, when you say you don't feel good about them, do you mean about their future or them as a perfect match? Or both?
Okay. I don't think they're a perfect match. And I don't think Keith is going to have the time of day for Alexis after the show.
No, I don't think there's any chance they survive after the show. And I think I put that over them being a perfect match. And I still don't think they're a perfect match. But I think their future is looks so bleak. And there's no chance they end up together.
So we'll leave that prediction there for time to tell on yes. that also. So we get like a little bit of this like foreshadowing of Kareem, like, basically being a big bully to Joe, Ethan, Tyler, and Shad, like the kind of reject guys that the girls aren't interested in. And he's like talking a mile a minute of that about them, like, just leave them alone. Like, that's the worst position to be in on Are You the One?
Mm-hmm. And to me, like, I'm glad they're still getting TV time. I'm glad we're kind of, for me at least, they're like the heroes of the season. Like, I was tough on Joe going in, and I was like, oh, I don't like this guy. But I think they're acting intelligent, smart. And just because the Are You the One girls don't like them, I don't think it should reflect the type of guys they are.
And let's break this down, because later Kareem gets into this, but when somebody's not making a connection on Are You the One, who's to blame?
I guess to be honest, it could be both. We don't see everything that's going on in the house. I don't think these guys just sat around from day one and didn't try to get to know the girls. I think at the point they're at right now, they're all kind of in the same position where none of the girls are interested in them in a romantic level. So now they're backing off and kind of hanging out, because how much can you really approach a girl if she's not interested? Like, I can't see Ethan going up to Jaleesa over and over when she's hanging out with Anthony. I think that'd be weird.
You know, I agree. And it's like, it totally sucks. Like, Ethan later says, like, I know my match is in love with someone else, most likely. Like, what am I supposed to do? He went on two dates with her. She clearly was not interested in him.
Yeah.
And they're doing the right thing by not forcing themselves on these women, Kareem.
Yeah, really.
The thing about, like, Joe and Shad, like, I could see why the women aren't that interested in them. Like, they kind of suck. But I don't think it's, like, for lack of them trying hard enough. And Kareem giving anyone advice is disturbing.
Yeah, and like, that's what bothers. I guess that's what sucks. And I'm glad people are seeing through that. That, of course, like, the douchebag manipulator, like, is getting the pretty girl. Like, it would be nice to see, like, her go to someone else. But her only backup is Keith. So it's not like we have a great backup here, but that bothers me, I guess. But I guess you can't really, like, people who fall for who they fall for, you can't really, like, judge them for that.
And we're going to tie in, like, let's just tie in the Joe and Olivia bit now. Like, Joe's interested in Olivia, approaches him in an odd fashion with a swim cap, approaches her with a swim cap on, which is not advisable. But like, Olivia, I think, took that the wrong way. Like, Olivia is saying, like, I still want him. They're, like, Joe's just kind of checking in. Joe is like, you're one of my favorite people here. and like Olivia takes it completely the wrong way. Like, I didn't feel like Joe was asking why they're together because he was judging her.
Yeah.
Like, he was asking if they're still together because he likes you. And Olivia is so nervous about how she's going to look on TV and like look stupid for being with Kareem that she like puts it on Joe, or at least that was my read.
Yeah. I think these people are, we're in the reality TV era where they're so like nervous about what Twitter is going to say, especially Are You the One? Because there's these people are very egotistical and they want people to like them and they want to be famous. So I think if you're in Olivia's shoes at this point, you just have to kind of accept that people are going to find Kareem a little repulsive and they might judge you for it. Like, you have to expect the worst when you're on these shows. You can't expect to be loved because we know how that turns out.
No, yeah, totally agree. It's just, podcasters with nothing else to do might talk about you, but that's okay.
Yeah, we might wait. And I feel like we're pretty honest. So, like, you know what? If you have nothing, if these Are You the One people are so egotistical, they have to listen to people talk about them. Maybe we might not be the one for you because we're gonna be harsh.
like Terrence. Sometimes you gotta be. It's week five. We gotta be a little tough.
Yeah, there you go. I like it.
All right. So this, let's get to the challenge, Family Matters, because I love when they bring exes in. I call for it every season. Usually if we get something like this with the parents, we're probably not going to get any exes in the house. I'm still holding out from Khaleesi and Dylan's season a million years ago that there's going to be a time when an ex that is still in love with someone on the show is in the house. Although I guess that did happen with Amanda also, but I will continue to hold out hope. In the meantime, I'll enjoy this challenge. What did you think of the way they brought in the parents here?
I thought it was cool. I obviously, if you're in a relationship with someone, the family's a big deal. So I think it just scared these Are You the One kids into realizing that, you know what? Wow, this is getting real. I'm technically meeting the parents here.
Yeah. So the way, just for anyone, I know there are non-watchers of the show who tune in. Basically, members of the women's families had like pre-recorded videos. They were asked questions. The men all had the opportunity to buzz in and choose from multiple choice. If they got the question right, they could eliminate one of the men. If they got the question wrong, they were eliminated. Last three standing, go on the date. And everybody, I think for the first time that I can remember, everybody was openly talking about keeping Clinton in the game for Clinton and Uche to go on the date. We always want this to happen, but usually it's like, we speculate, can they just drop the egg? Can they just do this? This was like, no one eliminate Clinton.
Yeah. And it was good to see them all come together on something, right?
Yeah, they're playing probably smarter than a lot of people, a lot of past contestants, although they're not doing as well. Nikki on Twitter wrote to us. She wanted to know, did production specifically make this challenge so Clinton and Uche could go on a date to get the drama of them finding out they're no match?
Yes, for sure. I think they got the perfect storyline of getting built up. And I didn't realize, like, watching this whole episode, that, which kind of sucks, that MTV previewed what was going to happen after. So when, as they were going to the truth booth, my mind was like, okay, like, they've already shown us what's going to happen. There's a little disappointment in the edit because you knew it was going to happen. But I do like how MTV let this relationship flourish just to kind of get brought down. And they were the one match that everyone was counting on. And nope, they weren't a perfect match.
Yeah. I don't think production specifically made the challenge for them. I think Are You the One likes to do a healthy amount of you can pick your own partners, you can pick your own date. It's random. It's blind. So I do think kudos to the cast for being able to use this to their advantage. A couple of fun highlights from the challenge. I died that Audrey did not tell her family she was on the show and told them she was doing an internship in California.
Do you think that was just for her, like, joking around production, or you think that was real?
Oh, I 100% think it's real.
Wow, that's like, I get the short-term goal, but like, are they allowed they're not allowed cell phones in the one house. So like, how is she keeping in touch with them?
She's not. She was like, I hope you don't think I'm dead.
Oh my God. That's crazy. How old is Audrey?
I don't know. Probably in her early 20s.
You could assume she's in her early 20s based on every other cast member of all time. No, if she got over with that lie, good for her.
I was kind of upset with some of the men here. So DeAndra was asked, like, her mom was asked something to the effect of, like, what's her like biggest issue, and Malcolm like didn't pick her attitude. Like that to me was the most obvious answer. Like, how do you not know Deandra's attitude's the first thing you notice about her?
What was the one he picked? Like, what was the correct where the answer?
I forget.
Just, yeah, it was something like kind of silly, and they're. I feel like these guys are either just really dumb or really bad at reading people's like flaws and like what they have to work on.
I did love that Nicole's parents' advice was to date a rich guy.
That makes sense.
Alexis's grandma was like, oh, she's definitely kissed six at least, guys. At least six guys.
And technically she kissed everyone, right? In the game that sent Keith through the roof.
Yeah, but
so she was right.
Good to see that Alexis has an open relationship with her grandma. a lot of honesty going on.
Yeah.
And then the biggest question of the night. Oh, sorry.
No, what were you saying?
The biggest question of the night was they asked Uche's mom if she thought Uche was still a virgin. That's just mean, MTV. That's just mean.
They knew it was going to happen. Like, they set that one up perfectly.
Tyler gets that question right. She says, yes, I'm a physician. I would know. And leaves us with Tyler, Keith, and Clinton going on dates with Tyler picks Jada, Keith picks Olivia, Clinton picks Uche. Were you surprised with any of these picks?
No, I think they were all kind of, they all made sense, and the other dates really didn't even matter. To go on Clinton and Uche, or the question about for Uche's mom, did you see Tyler's tweet about it?
No, what'd he say?
Oh my god, he said, I'm trying to find it right now. I don't want to, I could search for it. No, wait, I could search for it and then come back. Oh, here it is. Okay, so he said, Uche says I'm a virgin, and then Uche's mom, after seeing Clinton, you better hop on that ass before I do. I just thought it was so funny. He's definitely the MVP tweeter. Like, I was going through his tweets all night.
I was wrong. I did see that. I was just like, wow, okay.
It's so funny, though. Like, at that point, like, I guess she just has to kind of own up to it because her mom's going to see that she's not a virgin on national TV.
Yeah, no, that was tough. I was surprised when Tyler picks Jada because he says he wants to pick Nicole, but she's cuddled up to a no match. Not to be Kareem about it, but I think he should have picked whoever he wanted to pick. It's his date. You take them out of the house. Like, that's where I think Tyler dropped the ball.
And I think we could both agree that based on what we've seen of Tyler, he has a lot more going for him than Dimitri. And even though he's 5 years younger than him, I agree. I think that now that you said that, if he would have taken her on the date, I think she would have maybe seen something that she's not getting with Dimitri.
Yeah. And then a couple of these dates, the dates were pretty boring in my mind, my opinion. So Clinton and Uche, this was a really serious conversation. Like, Clinton's like, Uche's the exact person I asked for. And then he like asked Uche if she would move to the East Coast for him. And she's like, are you serious? And then she gives this cute little nod. So they're like ready to shack up. And then Olivia and Keith, their conversation is basically Olivia saying to Keith, you're my match because you're terrible with words. And Kareem is probably not my match because he's a smooth talker. And it's like, well, that's a double-edged sword right there. Thanks for the backhanded compliment. And I don't even know if we saw Tyler and Jada. If we did, I didn't see it.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't remember them at all. Like, I barely remember the dates as a whole. But like, now that you mention them, I don't remember the date at all.
All right, so we'll just go right ahead to the truth booth. They lock in. They're not a match. They're devastated. I'm devastated. Most devastating, though, is Clinton's reaction saying, like, what hurts the most is I was wrong. I'm like, you weren't wrong. Like, this is stupid. Like, you could be a no match and, like, be a couple. Like, you weren't wrong to open up to Uche.
Yeah, people are that's one thing that when I understand or respect the process, respect the matchup, like, that that's a whole big deal. It's the whole show. Yeah, whatever. But if you go based on the numbers, like, you're most likely not going to date your perfect match anyway. Like, you're not going to fall in love and have kids. That happened once, and it was from the first season. So I don't think, like, I understand, like, respecting the process and respecting what the matchmakers do, but I don't think you could put that much weight on it.
Yeah. So hopefully he kind of cools off. But that was sad to see. Jada, to me, saying that she's not one to say I told you so was almost more surprising than the no match. Like, Jada, you are 100% and I told you so kind of gal.
Yep.
Don't lie.
Yeah, that was that whole situation, and we're gonna get into it, I'm assuming, is just, it was just rough. Like, it just felt weird and forced, and like it went from like 0 to 100 real quick, and it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we talked about Keith and Alexis. They have another moment. Like, we got there. So let's talk about Jada and Clinton and how Jada is handling this. What do you think of Jada's, like, approach after the matchup? I mean, after the match.
I honestly didn't see much wrong with it, the fact that she talked to him. Like, she didn't do anything crazy. They weren't a match. She was trying to get to know him a little better. She did sit back and give her confessionals and was all cynical in her confessionals, but she didn't really act on it outside of in the house. So I didn't see much wrong with her just bringing him to the side to talk to him. Like, she said, you got to know her, like, now get to know me. Like, she has the right to say that, just because, like, he doesn't have to agree with her. He doesn't have to get to know her, but she's allowed to say that.
Yeah, I agree. I was really, really impressed with Jada the whole episode, even when she's punching walls. Exactly what you're saying. Like, she really is just sort of like, you need to branch out. And Clinton is reflecting, like, I told myself I wouldn't do what I did and wouldn't get stuck on one girl. And Uche, I love this phrase that Jada said. Uche rolls up on Jada. What are you talking to Clinton about? Here's the thing. Like, I get them from both perspectives. Like, I get, like, Jada has been so patient and so respective, like, respectful of their relationship in the last few weeks. And, like, Uche can't even allow Jada the time to speak to him without, like, jumping to conclusions about what she's saying. You get where Uche is coming from. She's really hurt. She obviously doesn't want to see Clinton with Jada. You get where Jada's coming from. She's just kind of saying, like, you know, don't give up on this process. Like, I've liked you. And Clinton reciprocates that. Like, Clinton's like, I saw you. I noticed you. Kind of giving her false hope. So I respect what both of these women are doing here. I feel terrible for Jada. Like, this is the worst position. Just like we're talking about the guys, when your match is a no match couple, or the person you like is committed to their no match couple, it sucks.
Yeah, I can't imagine, like, being in there and getting to know someone, having feelings for them, and, like, realizing that, okay, it's finally my chance to maybe get to know them, and then they're just not about it, and they're still in their own little world. That must suck, because it's like, it's a very, probably a hopeless feeling.
Yeah, you know, I don't condone violence to walls, but better violence to walls than Kareem's violence to Tyler.
That's still, like, such a funny fight based on how much smaller Kareem is.
So we get Uche saying she knows that her and Clinton need to separate. Do you think there's any chance that they actually do separate?
No, I think, to be honest, like, I'm the first one to say, like, you know what? No match couples, like, get to know other people. And which I still agree with. They both should get to know other people. But I understand that, like, everyone thought they were a match. Like, everyone saw the chemistry they had. I think everyone should just respect that they're going to still probably lay together every night. They're still going to be kind of coupley, as long as they can still play the game on top of that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. So we get to the matchup. Anthony picks Nicole, and I need you to help me analyze what Terrence says here. Terrence says to him, Anthony, if you met a girl like Nicole, do you think you could land her cuddled up with Gillesse every night? What does that even mean?
I guess to me, how I took that is, like, if you were trying to, I guess, date someone and they knew you were sleeping with someone else every night or sleeping next to someone else every night, what are the odds that you could be with them? And I guess to me, I know it seems kind of like weirdly, like, I don't know, like, it's a very weird thing to say. But I took it as, like, how do you expect to build a relationship with someone if you're cuddled up with someone else the whole night? That's, like, the small condensed version that I took from it.
But, like, should we slip a note to Terrence that Anthony's not trying to land a girl like Nicole?
Yeah, I guess what he was trying to get across, he didn't word it correctly.
So we'll give him a pass on that. So Malcolm picks Deandra, no surprise there. Then Joe comes up and we have another I'm Kareem, so I need to weigh in moment.
Kareem never disappoints in the limelight.
When you have to say boom to your own comment, like, because you have no backers, it's pretty sad.
He's definitely, like, I'm sure other seasons of me would disagree, but, like, thinking of who I hated the least on the other seasons, like, I didn't like Steven in 4. Last season, I don't even remember who I hated the most. Tyler, I didn't like. We talked about him a lot. But I cannot stand this man. Like, he's by far the most hateable. And I'm going to say this every time just so everyone knows how much I hate him.
No, you'd never have to feel restrained in that respect.
Thanks.
But I do kind of think, like, he does say that Joe tries to make connections by shit-talking guys to all the girls. And he does seem to have some support throughout. Later, he gets some support from Gilles. So maybe Kareem's onto something, but it's hard. At least production doesn't want us to know if he has a point.
Yeah, no, I like how they edited this one. It was good to see the rawness of it all.
So then Shad picks Audrey, which, like, why is Kareem calling out Shad? Because Shad is doing what he wanted him to do, which is find his match, even if the girl's interested in someone else. So you suck, Kareem. Mm. You said yep. that. Yep. Tyler picks Kiana. Ethan picks Jaless. Keith picks Alexis. Clinton picks Jada. Dimitri picks Uche. And this is the first time Dimitri gives a compliment to a woman that it doesn't involve her physical appearance. Like, poor Nicole.
What did he say? I for some reason I'm blanking on this.
He says something like she's sensitive and she like stands by her man. Something like that. Like all like emotional qualities, and that he appreciates that in a woman. And like everything else we've heard him say about every other woman is like she's got nice boobs, like she's hot, she's got a body. Like, don't, you know, it's just like, okay. And then Michael picks Nerisse. Joe is rooting for a no match here to punish the perfect match, non-perfect match couples. What do you think?
Okay, so like, obviously, I don't think it's good to root against getting money, but I think it is funny that like he hates people in the house that much where he wouldn't mind losing his share of $1 million or whatever the after taxes, whatever it is. Of course, like I understand where it bothered people, but I liked it. Like I enjoyed that he said that.
We have a question here. We only get one beam, but we got a question from Annie on Twitter. Joe and Zoe pick each other every week and are likely the week to beam, but we haven't seen them talk. Is it strategy or are their combos just not airing?
Oh, wow. I don't know. Like, I really don't have a good answer to that question.
I just feel like they can't really be talking. Like, I feel like Joe's not into Zoe or vice versa. We've seen Zoe be very upfront before about like to Keith that she doesn't like him. Maybe she did the same thing to Joe. It seems like Joe and Zoe are both crushing on the mutual pair of Olivia and Kareem, respectively. Mm. So I think they might just be friends who think that they're a match, but I don't see Kareem having the freak out that he has if Joe and Zoe are like really together.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. I don't think there's, I'm sure there's a strong friendship there. That's I think the most it could be.
What do you think about the Terrence beatdown he gives? Like, you have no information, you have no matches, it's week five, you're gonna lose.
Oh, I love it. I think Terrence is not disappointing at all for me as a host. Like, I, of course, there's things I'm sure he can improve on, but it is his first season. He's being really tough on them. I think it's good, though. He's not afraid to call them out when they're these no-match couples are just doing nothing but hanging out and kind of messing up their game. And we've heard numerous people say this season that, oh, I really, like, I'm here for love. I'd give up the money for love. Like, so I'm glad he's kind of, like, calling them out on it. And he's – and So I'm all for team. I'm team Terrence right now.
Yeah, I think he's been great. A lot less of an adjustment period than I thought he would need.
Yeah.
Again, Kareem freaks out. We talked about this. What bothers me here is Gilles, like, cheering this on. Ugh. Like, you saw Ethan trying to date you. You're not willing to give him a chance. Do you really want to be in a position where someone you don't like is constantly on you, trying to get with you, trying to tear you and Anthony apart? No, Gilles, you don't want that. So please stop, like, applauding as Kareem, like, harasses a nice guy who was just trying to be nice to you.
That was horrible. Like, just watching that, like, her, that's, I think, the worst type person, and girl or guy, it doesn't matter. But when there's a fight going on, there's someone in the background cheering someone on. I feel like it really belittles the person that they're arguing against, especially if you're friends with that person. And especially on top of that person's interested in you. Like, I just feel like it was beyond rude. Like, Kareem, we expect to act as bullish and as douchey as he did. But I feel like what they've shown of Jaless, like, I don't know if you'd expect her to be that kind of, like, cheering in the background type of person.
Yeah, no, totally agree with you. So the other thing is this is when, like, Ethan is kind of keeping his calm. He's just like, oh, don't flatter yourself. And Kareem says, I don't need to flatter myself. Look at me. Pounds his chest. Y'all are losers. What? Olivia, how are you attracted to him? Like, I really don't understand how anyone could see this kind of behavior and be like, that's my man.
It's so repulsive. And like, I'm really happy he made it out of such a rough town. it's probably why he's pounding his chest and praising himself.
So I did a little digging because this is episode 6. It's their 5th truth booth because of the wonderful editing. And I wanted to see, they're doing the worst of any season. If you want to check out Are You the One Math, it's a blog that as we get into the next few weeks, we'll start to have like some spoilers on who the matches are based on math. Yeah. I tend to avoid that, but I love looking at this little chart that they post that tracks the number of possibilities left as compared to every season week to week. So they definitely have the most possible scenarios left of any season. So they are lagging behind all 5 other seasons. Season 1, I wanted to look, like, this feels late in the game to not have had a truth booth. So season 1, they gave them 2 truth booths in week 5. So on their 6th truth booth, it was a perfect match. So technically they're not behind them in terms of having confirmed matches. Next week we'll kind of tell that, even though it is episode 6. Season 2, weeks 4 and 5 were both perfect matches, so they're well behind them. Season 3 got their first perfect match week 5. Season 4 got it week 3, but not again until week 6. And season 5 was also week 5. So it seems like by week 5, most seasons get a perfect match. Thought we would have had that with Uche and Clinton, but we did not.
Yeah, no, I think they're definitely, maybe they're not destined for failure, like they'd still win, but it's not looking great.
It is not. So we got a fun comment last week on robasawebsite.com. I love reading your guys' comments. Christopher O said, this only being the second season of Are You the One that I've seen, I was curious if someone has ever been kicked off the show or left. If so, I think this was inspired by last week's shoving match with Kareem and Tyler. If so, what happens to that person's perfect match? If not, what do you think would happen to that person's perfect match? Do they have a backup, almost perfect match waiting in the wings to come in and replace that person?
Imagine that's like what that actually happened. Like, it was, they had a backup perfect match. Like, I never even thought of it like that. Wasn't the only person ever get kicked out Mike from season 3?
Yeah, so that's the thing. I was talking this. This scene also spurred this sort of reaction in the people I watch with, as Christopher had. So we were talking about that. And yeah, Mike was removed because he got violent with Amanda. But it was week. It was episode 9. And so basically Kiki was left unselected or without a match. And so she got automatically paired with Mike. But then that was her perfect match. And it sort of was like inconsequential. They just acted like he was there. This early on, I feel like MTV would do anything possible to keep someone from leaving, because this really is dependent on having everyone. Yeah. It undermines the whole thing to like bring in an alternate.
Yeah, and I think it's even funnier that the fact that Mike got kicked out of this show and then went on Real World and got kicked off the Real World. Like, yeah. it is just like, it shows that he is not meant to be on reality TV.
He is not. So we have a question from Annie. It's a 3-parter. Do you think there's any weight in the theory? I'm sorry. It's a little out of order. Okay. When you find your match, you leave the house and effectively stop being on the show. Not finding your match equals more screen time equals more followers. Do you think there's any weight in the theory that it's a better incentive for participants not to find their match? AKA, does MTV need to introduce a better incentive, cash prize, vacation, a week of guests running the Are You the One Snapchat for finding your match?
Yeah, I think that is something that people will look into. Because look, even the guys who aren't hooking up with anyone right now, the odds of them going in the truth booth are very slim. I think there should be some incentive for finding your perfect match early on. But they also do showcase them. Like, I know it's not as much TV time, and I know they don't showcase them every episode, but there's also the chance that you find your perfect match, America loves you, and then you're brought back on, like, the challenge because you were so loved. So, like, I do think that it holds weight, but at the same time, maybe you'll be loved from finding your match so early.
Yeah, and I think if you make enough of a splash and find your match, that's better. We did see this happen with Paris and Pratt, where they were a perfect match. They avoided the truth booth. They, like, had a fake fight so that they didn't get sent in week one so that they could stay longer. Brian has always said he doesn't understand why they have to leave the house. Like, he thinks they should be able to stay in the house and not go to the honeymoon suite. I like, I think it's interesting the way he proposes it, but I do kind of like how they clear out the riffraff. Yeah, I don't think we're seeing that issue though. This, for whatever reason, in terms of do we need an incentive, we're not really seeing that issue this year, this time around, because all of the strongest couples like went into the truth booth. You know, it's not for lack of getting the right couples into the truth booth.
Yeah, no, they did a good, they've been doing a good, like, as much as we crap on the cast at times, like, they've done a good job at that. They've done a good job at getting the right people in the truth booth. It just hasn't worked out. Their perception is off, but I agree. I think they are doing a good job at getting people in the truth booth.
And if we, but if we do look at the people who have been cast on the challenge, Derek, Tori, Nate, like, a lot of the people are just kind of like scrubs who stuck around.
Yeah.
Dario, Christina, Brianna, but I don't think it was like any sort of strategic reason to it.
Yeah, has there been anyone that's went into that? Oh, well, next season we have I feel like no spoilers.
Let me rephrase then.
I feel like they're potentially, just because you went early doesn't mean you're never going to be featured on another show.
Yeah, I am just looking, though. Dario and Ashley were a perfect match, but that was week 10.
Yeah, that was late.
Let me look at who else
when
was.
You said Dario and Ashley, I just thought for some reason Dario and Nicole popped into my head from from Rival, or whatever. Yeah, it was Rivals 3. And I just thought for some reason they were both on the Are You the One for a second. It just really messed with me.
Yeah, it is true. For the most part, the people cast on the challenge were not confirmed matches during their season. I don't know if that speaks to more of like who takes it more seriously to find their match than than who's there for screen time. Unclear. But I don't really think it has anything to do with that. Cameron and Michaela were on second chances.
Do you think we'll see ever someone who's like the first perfect match of a season? Like, potentially, and I don't mean first perfect match like this season, like where it'd be like week 7 or whatever it's going to be. I mean, like, first perfect match, like first 3 weeks. Do you think that's possible that they would bring one of them back to return?
Well, so like Paris and Pratt were week 4. I could have seen them, one of them being on the show. Like, they were big enough characters to me, for sure. And then, like, by the time people usually find perfect matches, you're halfway through the season. And I think that's enough of a build out to have somebody worthwhile on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron and Michaela were week 3. Not that they were on the challenge, but yeah. I think, again, they were a notable couple enough to
get brought back
on the show. It is funny, like, Prosper and Tori were the first couple into the truth booth on their season. Like, can you imagine if they were a perfect match and then we would have never seen Tori again?
That would have been, yeah, I, but she was proving even then, like, as the season went on, that she was, like, kind of one of the strategic minds behind everything. So, like, I don't know about you, but I remember thinking, like, oh, she's going to be on the challenge. Like, just based on how they're editing her, and I think she has a good shot. And, like, for those, yeah, I don't want to spoil anything for those of you who haven't watched Challenge, but she's doing a pretty good job.
So Megan wants to know, do you think Are You the One is always going to have the no match couples problem? It's tiring and frustrating as a viewer.
Yes, I don't think you're ever going to get away from that. People are all going to probably say before the house, like, oh, even if it's not my perfect match, like, I want to make the money. I'm here for the money. And they get in the house, find someone, start falling for them, and then they act like this.
We are getting a bit of a new approach to it, though, where usually it's the majority of the house are not no match couples, and they're harassing the match couples or the non-match couples. Whereas now we're having like the majority of the house swing in favor of the no match couples and kind of attack the like minority men and women who are not in relationships. Not that I enjoy hearing Kareem, but it is like a new twist on an old problem. So I'm not sick of it yet.
Yeah, no, and you're right. It is the everyone's kind of, it feels like gathering around the villain. And I guess we don't really know how split the house is, though. Like, is it, it's, you don't think it's down the middle? Like, you think that it's pretty, like, one-sided?
I'm not sure. Let's see. We have Uche and Clinton. We have, it's almost also like they're treating Kareem and Olivia and like Audrey and Michael, as they already know they're not a match. Like, I feel like they're on the no match side. You have Norris and Malcolm potentially. You have, I'm already forgetting someone. Gilles and Anthony. Like, you have at least five or six couples that are on the sort of side of it's not the couple's fault. Yeah. It's your fault.
Yeah, no, and I understand, like, they're all coupled up, whatever. But we also saw Audrey, like, she was agreeing with Joe in a confessional, right? She was like, oh, yeah, I agree with what Joe said. Like, he said what he had to say against Kareem. And, like, so she agreed with him, which makes me believe that there's a chance Michael, who's coupled up with her, agrees with him. I don't know. I guess we really don't know the full dynamic of everything.
We have, besides Ethan and Kiana, we have Anthony and Gilles, Malcolm and Norris, Dimitri and Nicole, Clinton and Uche as strong couples who are staying together.
Okay.
Then we have Olivia and Kareem, who's clearly on that side. So that's, you know, five couples, which I think is more than we've ever had be firmly on the side of staying together.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And hopefully we keep seeing fireworks. I like this split. Like, any show, I enjoy a split. Like, especially, like, from watching Big Brother, I think that it might have stemmed from that. I love seeing a house split and people kind of go at each other. So I like that this is really split and they're not afraid to go at each other right now.
John Densford says, is Kareem worse than Gio? Can we at least agree he's the 80s version of Gio with that terrible facial hair?
Yeah, I think Kareem is way worse than Gio because I feel like Gio was like this character and like he was fun to like laugh at. I feel like Kareem is not fun to laugh at. Like, I just hate him.
I totally disagree. I do not think Kareem has even touched Gio levels yet. No, that is crazy. Come on. Gio was like crazy. Like, he was going to marry Kaylin and he's hooking with Francesca. He was terrifying. Like, that is not this. The jury's out. I'm not willing to say that he's worse.
Like, I don't know. Because for some reason, like, I don't feel like Gio's a real human. Like, I don't put him on the same standard. Like, I think he's insane. He's 100% insane. I'm agreeing with you on that. For some reason, I just, like, put him in this class of, like, crazy TV character, but I'm sure he's like that in real life. There's something about Kareem, I guess, and his recency bias. Like, I'm sure if we were watching RE the 1-4, I'd be like, oh, screw you, Gio. But, like, just because I'm watching him now, I hate who's on the most recent season.
I mean, you're not crazy. A lot of people have compared them. I just think that that's really
justified.
Jumping ahead.
Not yet. Justified. Okay, no, I see what you're saying. That does make sense.
All right, so we have some exciting news before we get to the Twitter drama. Some exciting news on our iTunes page, robisawebsite.com/challenge iTunes. That's also where you can get the RE the One feed and let us know you're watching RE the One. My goal has been to hit 200 five-star reviews between the two shows. We have hit 208.
Wow.
And a milestone I didn't expect to achieve. We were previously rated as an average rating of 4.5 stars. We have now bumped up to 5-star rating.
Whoa.
So thank you to everyone sincerely who comes in, lets us know you're watching the show, lets us know you're enjoying it. We appreciate it. Special thank you to LexNick93, RC80, BGLL, and iPhone1018. This week, we really appreciate it. So yeah, how about
that's
that?
Awesome. That's amazing. Thank you to anyone who's positively rating this. I know we both appreciate it very much.
So yeah, you can, no more goals this season, unless anyone else can think of one. Just continuing to make our days. You can do so at robisawebsite.com/challenge iTunes and subscribe. Get all of the RE the One and challenge goodness there. On to the Twitter drama. I just pulled a couple selections because there was a lot happening. So let me know if you grabbed anything that I did not. Okay. Narice tweeted, I don't know about y'all, but I throw hands, not bananas. Punch emoji. Girls with crossed hands emoji, banana emoji. Because if you saw in the preview for next week, they're about to pop off and DeAndre's throwing nanners. I've come out before. I do not like to see food wasted like that, but I guess bananas have peels, so it's protection.
Yeah. I agree.
DeAndre wrote, I got a mouth and hands to go with it. Let's not get that confused. Rosy cheek smile emoji. Lucky Malcolm that he's just getting off without a hitch here.
Yeah, of course, right?
This bothers me. I'm not excited to see these women fight over him. Tyranny from last season?
Yeah, she was with Osvaldo, so that was last season.
So she tweeted, can we just take the time to appreciate for putting... Take the time to appreciate MTV for putting the Truth Booth and the matchup ceremony in the same episode. Finally, I support that tyranny.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on backing her.
Uche said, as a decent human being, I would never genuinely enjoy the sadness of another person. Subtweet Jada. Jada wrote, if y'all was really secure in y'all's relationship, in quotes, little old me wouldn't be such a threat. Stop worrying about me, boo. It's good over here. Heart emoji.
Ooh.
Jada also wrote, I'm irrelevant, but I'm all you and your girl talk about on y'all Twitter feed. Okay, sis, that makes sense. So, like, we're seeing a very different Clinton from the Clinton who's kind of like, oh, yeah, I noticed you, Jada. Like, something happens here. Because Clinton is constantly talking shit about Clinton, or about Jada on his feed.
Wow, like, it's... So we're going to either see something that's crazy or something's going to happen after the show that makes him like really dislike her. I'm assuming she's just going to continue to fight with Uche and it's going to end badly, but I'm excited to see it.
So then she tweets. So somebody tweeted at her a screen grab of Clinton's Twitter feed. So like, I don't know if she's blocked or something, but she retweeted it and said, bitch boy Moxham, which is Clinton's last name. Still got his panties in a bunch. I see. I'm irrelevant. Laugh cry emoji. Bruh, y'all are boring. Pull your skirt down, sis. The tweets that he had sent were a personal, definitely okay emoji. She's irrelevant without Uche and I storyline. She's begging for attention. Cass knows what actually happened. Respects what? My demeanor, attitude, respect for my situation doesn't allow the entertainment of another female. No choice but to respect it, in quotes. Time limit, definitely. Shouldn't the question be why isn't she trying to make other connections, stuck on someone that's not interested? Okay.
Wow.
So then this is sad. I imagine this tweet timed up to when Jada was saying that Clinton didn't want to be next to her at the matchup. Clinton tweeted, that's probably the first accurate thing Jada said all season. Clap, ooh, clap emoji. Are you the one? And then Kareem tweeted, y'all are some mean people. And I'm just like, you called people, you know, in real life losers, like, and then his whole Twitter feed is just sucking kneecaps to try to get on the challenge. Like, he was like, I'd love to learn from CT. Bleh. Like,
ew, I don't want that to ever happen. That would really kill me inside. Like, if he was ever on the challenge, that would be repulsive. Like, he would not be fun to hate on the challenge. He would just be easy to hate.
I think he's like 100% going to be on the challenge, though.
I know. I guess he is doing what he has to to get on the challenge. I don't know if he's trying when he's on either one.
And I don't know that he, like, I actually think it might be the upside of him being on the challenge is that he'd just get his ass kicked, which would be fun.
That would be fun, I guess. But it is fun, but even the people get their ass kicked, like, they have this, like, him being on TV again would give him more of a false sense of entitlement. Like, he would act like he's done something to get to this point. So, like, that's going to be just annoying to see.
Amen. And we are going to leave it with Tyler getting the last word here. He tweeted, MTV, come get your Truth Booth. It's broken.
Tyler never disappoints.
All right. So we will be back next week to talk about episode 7. Hopefully these cast of hooligans will be at least a step closer to finding their match. In the meantime, you can follow me at Lash Tweets, and you can follow Adam at
Adam Bongo.
And we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.